I think the word expectation, like if a person were like, okay, can you pick two or three topics or words or concepts that contribute the most to either personal happiness, success, that most impact the human experience, expectation would be one of them.
Win all in, play my cards right.
This podcast exists because of the team at KazCM. At KazCM, we make content creation enjoyable. We are on a mission to help leaders create content, content that will improve lives, content to be proud of, content that fosters community. We know through firsthand experience how content brings people together, and we love helping make that happen. We produce podcasts, short-form videos, blog posts, and other written works, while also providing support in website development, social media management, and strategic planning. And we would be excited to help you. Visit KazCM.com to learn more, or feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter.
You're never going to guess where I am. I would never guess
Monica,
where I am.
That's where you were at one point, right?
That is where I was. Yeah, I was there for about a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I guess I left Asheville in March of 2021. I was in the car van lifing, Tesla van lifing. I'm so bougie. Even when
that's
I van
great.
Life.
That's great.
So we van life there. We either like car camp, me and my little puppy dog.
Yeah.
Or we like stay in Airbnbs, or we stay with friends or whatever. Mm. That's for like a year.
Okay.
And then got the intuitive hit to go to Monaco, end up being there for about a year. And then that wave just kind of closed. I was like, okay, that was fun. Enough.
Okay.
I'm not going to like build my empire in Monaco. That's not really where empires are built. And then I was in Zurich for about 3 months. And then my mom wanted to spend the summer in Ireland. So I was in the summer there with her.
Okay. So now we're somewhere else.
And now I am in Pensacola, Florida.
Okay. Yeah, I would never have gotten there.
You would never.
I would have been like...
Nobody. Nobody
Same time
ever
zone,
known me.
The whole thing. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. That's great.
Yeah, the thing that I really like about it is, and I learned this after I got here, the Gulf Coast area, the Pensacola area is known as the Redneck Riviera.
Yeah.
Which I had never heard before, and I think is incredibly... on point and hilarious because I moved here from the actual French Riviera.
Right.
So you can't say I'm not moving up in life. I mean,
yeah, there
look,
it is.
There it is.
That's awesome. Wow. Okay. So do you have a time that you're going to be there, or is it we'll just see what happens over the next 6 months, year?
We'll see what happens. Yeah, this wasn't a random move. This was the group that I had introduced you to at some point a while ago.
Yeah.
I've gotten deeper and deeper in with that. And the headquarters is around this area. And so I moved here to be closer to that.
Okay. How does it feel to be in the States, to be back in the States after, I guess it's been what, two plus years now?
2+ years now.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. There are things that obviously Europe does so, so much better than we do, rather significant things. And then there's really things that we do so much better over here.
Yeah.
And so it was a combination of kind of like, okay, I'm kind of coming back to some things that I really appreciated being free from. And then there's also like this really nice kind of coming home feeling where it's just like, this is my culture.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of has, you know, most people have a really strong affinity for their culture, even with all of the issues that all cultures, you know, contain one way or another.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, when I left Asheville, it wasn't because I wanted to go somewhere per se. I really, as you know, like everything I do is intuitive at this point because I've spent so long getting in touch with my intuition. That's how my whole system works. So when it says go, I need to go. But I was really looking for a place that whole time. I wanted to land, actually, the whole time I've been nomadic. Normally when I'm nomadic, it's because I'm for the sheer joy of I want to go to this place and be nomadic. Even Monaco wasn't really my idea. That was an intuitive hit. That was guidance. So I was like, I don't know. I had to look up where it was.
Yeah.
I was in Vancouver at the time and I was online. I saw something on, you know, some site and my whole system was like, go there. And I looked at the thing underneath the photo, the caption, and it said something about Monaco. And I was like, Monaco? You want me to go to Monaco? Like, where even is that? Like, I think I know where that is, but I'm not. Like, I was like Googling it and then I bought a ticket a few weeks later. And like, that's exactly where I needed to be to learn X, Y, and Z and then get me to where I am now.
Did you get an opportunity, you know, the word, I'm sure you hear like the hustle culture when you work with high achievers, like people are just grinding constantly. And then there's like the thing with here in the US versus Europe, right? We could look at, well, they relax, right? There's siestas, there's taking time and spending time with family and all that. And here in the States, it's just go, go, go constantly. But then you can look at economies and say, well, US economy just thrives, right? And there's definitely reasons for that because you do have to work, right? You have to, I don't know what that word, like hard work or whatever. Like it does matter no matter what you're doing. But did you see, I don't know, it's like it works on both sides, I guess. But was it helpful to be there overseas to be a part and be ingrained in that culture where you could like, you could just breathe?
Yeah, it's definitely, the priorities are definitely a lot more balanced over there, especially in France. They're very quality of life oriented. They want to relax and have fun. The sort of joke is like, they don't want to work. Well, it's not that they don't want to work. It's that that's like not their, they're like really good at vacationing. You could say that a lot of Americans are really good at working and not very good at vacationing, meaning a lot of these high performers, when they stop working, they're still like checking their phone or they're in the Bahamas and they're finishing a deal or something. They're not good at unplugging. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, whatever your ratio is, you have to do so, both in some measure.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting. You know, you send an email about your visa in France, you know, to the French government, or even a person you're working with in between, you know, who's hired to go in between to the French government, and you don't hear back the next day. It's going to be 3 or 4 days. And that's not like, oh, that person then isn't a good employee. That's just how the culture is.
Right.
So you have to kind of just make those adjustments. And in the beginning, I sort of, you know, I mean, I've traveled a lot in my life, but this was the first time I would really like land. I was like, I want to live here. I'm going to live here. I'm going to make the change. I got a long stay visa, you know. And in doing that, there's a mindset shift. And so in the beginning, I was sort of like, oh, okay, well, this person takes 4 days to respond to my email in my template. That means there's a problem. It's, you have to shift templates. Oh, okay, that's how long it takes. All right. And instead of, you know, it's like the things we get used to this sort of rapid thing, and then we expect it. Over there, you just shift your expectations. The whole system works just as well, or not as well in opposite ways, you know, but like reasonably well. The country runs, right?
Good enough, right? Yeah.
Perfect. And just, okay, just that's, you send an email and you expect it's going to take 3 days. So you adjust and you do something else during those 3 days. You see what I mean? It's just like a different way.
So you get used to their time construct almost in a way. Like in certain cultures, so if someone's late, like we could be offended, like how we set this thing up for 9 and you showed up at 10, like how is that? But it's like in their culture, that's their construct of time where it's so different in different places and they get used to it.
Yeah. And it's beautiful because they're raised differently. They see the world different. That's the whole point of going to different cultures is, oh, how do you see the world?
Right.
We see it as whoever makes the most money wins. What do you, how do you see it? They're like, what are you, crazy? We see it as whoever can sit and spend as much time sitting on their porch drinking rosé and soaking in sunshine wins. Cool.
Right.
It's a different game.
Yeah. I think that's changed though, right? Like we could say, well, we see it this way. And there are a lot of people to say, well, where did you go on vacation? Let's compare and contrast. Let me look at your pictures. Like, well, yeah, our trip's better, or my car's better, or my school is better, you know, what my business is better, and or that person's got more than I do. And it's like, that's constantly keeping up. But I think there is this, I don't want to say movement, right? Because it sounds like something bigger than it is, because it's just things that are happening where people are saying, well, what do I want individually? What do I need? And I don't have to keep up with it. At the same time, you're surrounded by it. It's really hard to escape. Where I think if you go somewhere else into a different culture or get off the grid or what have you, you can escape it, but it's hard, right? And it's, I think the best thing is to be able to like be in a city like Pensacola, like Charlotte, like somewhere in New York, and be surrounded by it, but be free from it as well. It's just really complicated. It's really hard to do because you are truly surrounded by it.
Yeah, and it's shifting really quickly, which I think is what you're pointing to.
Yeah.
There's culture and geographical location, which I think has always had those, or you know, within reasonable recent history has always had those delineations. Here in the States, though, it's time. Like just as you say, our generation sees has a whole different set of priorities than our parents' generation. Whole different. You know, you grew up in the 50s. It was white picket fence. It was the suburbs. That was success. That's what it looked like. And the 60s hit and started throwing all of these, all the norm, gender norms and things out of the way. Obviously, we're taking that to a whole new level in our generation. But like the way that you and I grew up and are growing up shifted the world such that at some point when millennials hit the workforce actually had to change.
Yeah.
You know, now we've got things like a mental health coordinator in corporate thing. That wasn't a thing. What does that even mean? We don't care about your mental, what mental health? You don't have mental health. You're either sick or you're not. If you're sick, go home. If not, come to work. You know, it was very black and white. And now, because we just we care less, I think, about who has the car. Obviously, it varies, of course, talking about, but as a whole, we value our happiness. We value experiences more over things. We value our happiness over just having the money and the stuff to have the money and the stuff. And that's changing the world.
Yeah. Expectations. We've used this word a lot. And there's expectations that we have as individuals of what we think we want. And more or less, I think I'm getting that. There's expectations that others possibly have of us. It's a lot to manage, right? There's a lot of guilt in that. There's a lot of not meeting expectations. And like, what does that bring about? I think maybe perhaps like you were in Asheville and you made this move and you had these friends. It's not, and I don't know. I don't remember like this personal experience you had with people in your, not past life, but that you've had friends as friends or just acquaintances or just people that you see every day. But expectations as it relates to the people that are around you, I think that's a very, it's another complicated word that we think about with our day-to-day lives. Like when I bring that up, what are you thinking about?
I think the word expectation, like if a person were like, okay, can you pick two or three topics or words or concepts that contribute the most to either personal happiness, success, that most impact the human experience, expectation would be one of them. Mm. I think it is one of the most fucking powerful things that we have in our conscious control, as long as we make it conscious. That is also one of the easiest. So you can come to me and you'd be like, well, I'm unhappy with X, Y, and Z in my life, and I want to fix it. What can you do for me in 5 minutes of my time? If I were like, okay, you're never going to see me again after 5 minutes. Okay, here's what you can do. You can shift your expectation. Because the fact of the matter is, if you are actually, Pensacola is a great, example. So I have never been to Pensacola in my life. I came for a couple of days, I don't know, a few months ago or something like that, before I moved here. And I'd always thought it was just completely a place with really low consciousness, a place with really low sort of like education. It's just a whole different crowd, super conservative. It's just not sort of my vibe. You know, I tend to go to, oh, I'm going to hang out in Sedona. You know, I'm like that person.
Right, right.
So my expectations, I will confess, it's probably coming off as a little bit judgy, and it probably was. When I got here, my expectations were just in the dirt. I was like almost like bracing against like, oh God, what's this place going to look like? Because I was already thinking I might move here. And I was like, oh, you know what? This place is like really pleasant. Like A, it's on the water and it's beautiful and there's breezes all the time. But it's also got this really cute little downtown. It's got a little historic district. There are a few like buildings downtown that are like real artistic architecture, I was noticing all of these things about Pensacola. Are all those things true about Pensacola? Absolutely. Could I have looked at Pensacola through a different lens and seen all the shit I was concerned about seeing? Absolutely. But because I came in, not intentionally, just happened to be how I came in, what I'd learned about the panhandle of Florida throughout my life.
Sure.
Judgy things handed down, I'm sure. Is that I came in from a certain angle. The way you see something shifts how you feel about it. And how you feel about things is whether or not you're happy. So if you can come into everything with low, or ideally, the art of it is no expectations, then truly you are not only set up for success, success is inevitable. It can't not, because you're thrilled with whatever you see.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're talking about cultures and coming from the US and things like that. It's like, one of the things I love about Europe is they're incredibly environmentally aware. Sustainability game is on point, and that's something I see as very important. So when I go there, I feel like a relaxation of that part of me. I'm like, oh, these people have it. They're taking care of things. I feel safe. I feel good in that area. But I've also been to like the Dominican Republic. You know what I mean? I've also been to places in Africa or places in the Caribbean that have a very low level of education. There can be plastic everywhere in some places. They don't even know that it's a bad thing. They can't. They're working on survival, right? There's a Maslow's hierarchy of needs here. You're working on more important things. So when I go there, I don't think, ugh, I can't believe they're not recycling.
Yeah.
Because that's not something they can do there. So it's like my expectation of the US is you should be at a European level. But when I go to the Dominican Republic, my view is different. And I go, oh man, these people are, yeah, you took that plastic thing and you made a thing out of it because that's all there was to make a thing out of it.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I see it totally different. And so I've been using this consciously. When I came back, I was like, okay, I've been living in this sort of a bit more sophisticated, a little bit more, you know, educated type of environments in Europe. And when I come back, can I shift my viewpoint such that I'm not hurt by what I see? And so I will compare it. I will consciously shift my viewpoint to when I was in Dominican Republic or some similar place. When I see something like that, it's like people in Florida could not care less about recycling. I mean, they just throw plastic, they give plastic out like they're making money off how much plastic they can give you out. It's like stunning. Anyway, it's just everywhere. And so I could absolutely compare that all the time to Zurich and be miserable in the moment. Or I can be like, that's where this consciousness level is right now. And I can contribute in ways that I can contribute, but I can shift my own happiness. I'm in control of my own happiness in that moment. And I can shift it such that authentically, I see it in a way that leads me to feel good in the moment.
So you can do that, right? And I think there's a lot of self-awareness in there. You've reflected, you're thinking about these things, you're comparing and contrasting, right? Like, oh, here's what it was like over here. That's amazing. It's just not the norm, right? People have patterns that they get themselves into. And unless they somehow become aware of that pattern, it's really hard to break through, right? And those patterns can exist in so many different facets of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's what you do, right? You help people break through those patterns perhaps and see it the way you're seeing, or try to help someone see it. Not the way you see it, but the way they want to see it, right? And like break through that. How do people get there? I mean, I guess listen to this podcast, right?
But
reading, traveling, you know, what have you, but how do we get there?
So what you're talking about is essentially the path of human evolution, right? A more evolved person, and I will put a little asterisk here, more evolved is not better. It just means that you've learned and integrated some things that somebody else hasn't. It's not a race to the end. That's not a thing, right? So it can sound that way, and it's important that that's not taken into account. So at a higher level of evolution, there comes with that the art of no expectation, things like that. And a detachment from your current surroundings. So you can see, you have perspective, you can see what's happening in your life. Whereas at a lower level of evolution or an earlier level of evolution, you're lost in it. You're wrapped up in it. This is all of life, right? That's what meditation does. It detaches you from the moment in a way that allows you to have perspective on it rather than getting lost and wrapped up in it. But people will tend to move along that path in different ways. A lot of people get a lot of results from reading like self-help books, which I think is great because that's a way that one person who has gained a piece of wisdom or a lot of wisdom can get it out to a huge number of people and they can benefit without having to work with that person individually. That doesn't work for me. That has never worked for me.
Yeah.
I have never been a person, I mean, the most basic self-help books, and this has been my field for like 25 years, the most basic self-help books I haven't read. And so it's kind of this funny thing. I need to work with someone. That's how I work.
Yeah.
So I find someone who has what I want. That person has reached the level of evolution I want, or I resonate with them or whatever. And I go and I work with them. I'm like, hi, how can I, right? And I get sessions with that person and I function that way. And that's needed because then they transmit that to me. I learn the skill, like having a music lesson, right? You can't just talk about it. You got to try, oh, that wasn't the right note. Oh, well, hold on. Nope, that was, oh, there it is. Yep. I need that experience. And so if somebody's listening to this and like, man, I really want to get through this, don't know what to do, not ready to reach out to Dominie or Eric or find a mentor or something like that, try reading, go and get all the resources you can. If that doesn't work, go find someone who has what you're looking for and work with them, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe they know someone, right? But there's this way of like, the only thing I would say is like, don't just do the easy part. If you're on there watching YouTube videos, it doesn't matter. It's not about YouTube or not YouTube. If you're doing something that's not getting you the result, and the result is the problem is gone, then you need to try something else. So you've got books, you've got speakers, you've got YouTube clips, you've got coaching with somebody, you've got therapy. I mean, this is a pretty big, there's a pretty big movement right now of self-work.
It's vast, right?
It's huge, you know?
Yeah.
Go find it. But like, don't settle with like, okay, well, I literally had a client come to me one time and say, I want to work with you now, but I did work with a therapist before. And I worked with her for about 2 years and I just didn't see a whole lot of change. So I want to try something else. And I was like, 2 years? You spent 2 years of your life with a therapist that you weren't sure whether or not you were getting right. Like, girl, no, absolutely not. If you're not getting results in therapy, slower than your work and my work, but you know, within a month or two, you have the wrong therapist, go find another one.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
There needs to be real change. Like, I know that a lot of this is often seen as being kind of amorphous. It's actually a lot less than people think. You need to be getting results. If you're not, there's something wrong. That's not your person. Go find your fucking person.
Mm, yeah, that's good. That's really good. And then I think you would say the same thing if someone was working with you. And if it's not a fit, it's not a fit.
100%.
Right.
And I usually know before they do. For me, it's 2 weeks because I have to do a group session every week. And if they go more than like 2 weeks, maybe three, if they don't get results or I could feel no movement for 2 weeks, I'm tuned in because I can feel energetically, yeah, like even between the times when I see them, how they're doing, if they're at their edge or not. So then I check in and I will do this automatically. It's in my system. I will check in.
Gotcha.
Find them online. Be like, hey, how's it going? And they'll be like, oh, I've been focused here or something like that. But if it's 3 or 4 weeks, I will come to them and say, hey, we need to have a check-in. I'll usually do a one-on-one session just for free and just be like, to be clear, like, are we still? And then if it's not a fit, then I refer them to someone else.
Move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So we're talking about people who there's some self-awareness to show up to therapy, to read that book, to whatever they want to do, right? I think that that's a certain kind of person. Now, like, go to the masses. That's difficult, right? I'm looking around here. I'm in Charlotte. This is a growing city. And I have an example I can use before I get there. When you look around and, you know, I was talking to an individual the other day and lack of critical thinking, right? We immediately take in all of this content. There's more content. There's more coming at us. Like, to your point, there's more books. There's more therapy. There's more TV shows. There's whatever entertainment. Like, there's more sporting events. Like, we used to, like, here's the game you watch. Well, now you can watch literally any game anywhere at any different level all over the world. You can gamble on it. You can, like, there's just so much, which is in some regards amazing. Like, what a world we're living in, right? To have all this information, but like, our brain cannot process this all. But the person to get to that point is going to have somewhere either self-awareness or someone telling them, like, this is what you're going to do, like a spouse, let's just say, or an employer or a friend. How do we get to that point? Like, maybe that's what's embedded in the culture in France that you were talking about before. Like, that's just the way of life. I don't think that's the way of life here. Like, there was one point during COVID, I'm like, wow, we're going to come out of COVID in such a better place, right? Mm. Like, oh, wow, this is going to be amazing. And I think a lot of people did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people went the complete opposite way, where it's like, they're worse off than ever before.
Yeah.
You have a loneliness epidemic that's continued of all these different things. When you're talking about all these things, like, I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of people that could use that type of thinking that you had. There's a lot of people that will not even ever hear that message at any point in their life. And they'll be out there and they'll outnumber by a big number the people that are self-aware. What do we do with that, if anything?
Well, a couple of things. You don't need education to come into this work. I didn't come into this work because I had an education or I knew its value. I came in because I fucking hurt. Pain leads us to fix ourselves. Otherwise, that's ultimately why pain exists. It shows you that something's going wrong or out of balance or out of alignment and there's an opportunity to fix it. Now, the problem is people just feel the pain. The problem actually is that people accept the pain as life and don't seek to change it. They don't think they can change it.
Yeah.
And you and I may have had this conversation at some point in the past, but I remember at some point for all the like global like good that I want to do in the world, some point I realized that my main, like, I think maybe somebody asked me that, like, if you could have one impact or if you could teach one thing in the world and have everybody know, I think that was the question, what would it be? And I really had to sit with it because there's so many, oh my gosh, there's this and there's that. But really it was like, you can fix it. That's it. That is the single most important fucking thing. You can fix it.
Yeah.
And yes, you need the how, but if you start with the I can fix it, you will find the how.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's this disempowerment and resulting apathy that then leads into a cycle and kind of traps a lot of people. So the question is, okay, but then education doesn't reach those people. Yeah, but those people don't need education. Education comes later. They need to know that there's another option. That not pain is an option. It's like having back pain your whole life. And then you just assume that's how I am. I am a person with back pain, right? Anxiety. People just sit on it like a cushion. I have anxiety. They've adopted it into their identity. Okay.
Yeah.
Like they don't say I'm an anxious person even. And the word anxiety is quite socially acceptable now. But one of the things that I'll do with my clients when they come in and they say, oh, I have anxiety or I feel this, I say, oh, okay, so what are you afraid of? And they'll say, I don't understand. Like, when you feel anxious, what are you afraid of? And I've asked, I remember the first time, it just came to me very naturally. Like, that was the obvious question to ask. I had a woman who'd had anxiety for about, I think, pretty much her entire life. And it was so bad, she couldn't even, like, go into department stores. Like, it was really debilitating. And she had an anxiety attack, like, on my floor. She was over at my house. She, like, had an, sitting here watching. And she's like, don't worry, just leave me alone. I've got this. I've got this. She's, like, rocking on the floor. And I was watching. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And so she completes her experience. She knew how to get out of it. And then she sort of sat down. And I said, so, you know, when that happens, what are you afraid of? And she looked like I'd slapped her in the face. And she said to me, in 13 years of therapy, no one's ever asked me that. It's anxiety. Anxiety is fear. That's like saying, I have nervousness. Nervousness is fear. What are you afraid of? Because fear is not crazy. We all got that going on some level. That's cool.
Yeah.
Look at it. But they never turn and look at it. They accept it as reality. The professionals that she had seen, she was in her late 20s, but she had seen her entire life, just accepted her as an anxious person and went from there. Anywhere you go from there, you're dealing with a symptom. Oh, when does it come up? It comes up in these situations. Great. Take this medication or try this technique. Who cares? What is the fear?
Yeah.
And so we turned and she looked at it. She's literally just a friend. We hung out for maybe a couple of weeks. Totally gone. It's just about completely, totally gone. Her entire life's worth of anxiety. Every once in a while, she's like, yeah, sometimes if a crazy situation comes up at work, I'll feel it. But like, that's it. Like it's 98% gone.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. That's just, I'm not accepting your lot in life. You are, but I'm holding, this is what's really happening. I'm holding the potential, what you can be. So when people sit with me, they fucking see it. They can feel it. So they can tend to reach it better when they're with me at first. And then eventually I teach them how to do it on their own. So it's like everything you're experiencing, and we're talking everything here, bro. We're talking marital issues. We're talking jealousy issues. We're talking health issues. I don't delve into that realm deeply. You know, that's not to say you have a solution for something that's that physical, you know, makes people nervous when they have physical issues. But like, it's all connected. It's all the same thing. There's something in your system where you're holding yourself back. You're not aware of what it is. When you become aware of what it is, it shifts.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, and you see people, whether they accept it and they go out, and it's like, that's why they smoke a cigarette. That's why they go to the bar. That's why they drink. Yes. That's why I have to go be around other people, because if I'm by myself, then this creeps up and I feel that anxiety. So that, like you said, you're dealing with the symptom, and you see that all the time in the medical space, right? I could talk about my wife when she's going around and trying to get diagnosed, like something's wrong. I have this pain, this stomach issue. And they're like, it's this symptom. Take this, you'll be fine. Take this. You just had a baby. You're stressed out. You're just a young mother. You'll get over it. Like what? What are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. To ask that question. And it's a lot because I think it accumulates too, right? So an example I was going to give, because I was like trying to say, like yesterday, weather's really nice. I went to go pick up my daughter from school and I was happy to do it. I want to do it. I love being in the car with her, the whole thing. Charlotte's gotten crazy. So a lot of traffic. Okay. And there's maybe this expectation, because you talked about it in your town in Pensacola, that there's certain things that are done one way and other ways. Driving here sucks. Like, let's just say that it's just some of the worst driving I've seen, and it hasn't been that way. And I find myself even going there and bitching about it and watching people running red lights. And I have kids that are driving now. So my concern goes to that, because I'll blatantly see people run reds. And I see that there's just no cops on the roads, right? There's just once in a while, I'll see someone get pulled over. And chances are they weren't even doing anything that bad. Yeah. They're missing the real issue on the road. It's like that bad. At the same time, now you can let it bother yourself because you get stressed out about it. And then you get in this pattern that every time you get in the car, you can get stressed out by it, right? It can create anxiety, fear. It can create frustration. It can create you not like being yourself. And you have this, like you can, oh wow, I feel a little tightness in the chest. Like I'm not myself. Maybe I'm short with my words, or I'm a little flustered or whatever. You know, you see this around the road, because then you see people having real outrage, chasing each other down the road. That kind, it's like, where are we? This is like one of those video games.
Yeah, really.
But you realize that like that's just adding. So it can add to me, but I know it's going to add to a lot of people's frustration and anger and anxiety and all those types of things. Like as an individual, when those things happen, because that thing can become more. Right? It could start with something like driving to work being in traffic, hating your job, your boss asks you to do something, you don't want to do it, then you kind of start shutting down, you go home, your wife's not happy to see you, there's no dinner made, or your husband, whatever, your friends aren't being nice to you, then there's this expectation of like, well, why didn't you show up to this dinner tonight? I thought you would be there. Like, you always come to these dinners. Mm. So now that's a different, that's the other side of expectation that other people have of you. So you get what I'm getting at is there's all these little things and like driving down the road, well, you're just frustrated driving down the road. So just go a different direction or I don't know, work remote or whatever, right? There's definite like symptoms to that, but these things compound.
Yeah.
And then you add years and years and years onto this, all of a sudden, how are you treating that, right? Okay, I'm going to go to the bar. It's a lot easier just to have a few pints, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot easier just to go bet on these football games, whatever. I'm saying all that, and you can take that whatever direction you want, but I see that a lot of times. That's what's building up. And I'm even being honest with myself to say, I love driving. I mean, I do like driving, but when it's in that scenario,
yeah,
I fucking hate it. I think this is a disaster, so.
Yeah, what's standing out to me about that is the number of things that need to build up before it gets to a really extreme point. Like somebody comes in to work with me and they're in an abusive relationship, right? That didn't just like happen.
Yeah.
Right? There were a lot of red flags that were missed before you got into a situation like that, before you got sick, before you got abandoned or your partner left or whatever. Because I was a men's dating coach for quite some time, specifically working with men in their relationships. And what I heard often, which was interesting, is men being like, oh, my wife left me or my girlfriend left me and I have no idea why. I mean, that's a really intense thing to hear. I was like, hold on. You have no idea? And like genuine, like they were bullshitting. They really had no idea. Which is not to say that there wasn't a reason, you know. We're creating like every dynamic it takes two, but they didn't know, right? And we ladies, we're not like amazing at communication either necessarily. Like we'll be like, I thought you would just figure that out or I assumed it was obvious. Well, maybe let's stop doing that and just like use your words, okay? Because not everybody thinks the way that we do. So, you know, a combination, obviously, again, it's both, but there were a lot of red flags that were missed. So when we talk about red flags that are missed, we talk about starting small, okay? So the life that you're moving towards in the scenario, and I'll exaggerate it slightly just to make it clearer, you're living your life and in your life is Charlotte and Charlotte is doing a certain thing so that in the combination, when your life and Charlotte come together, meaning you're directly interacting with the city in an example like traffic, then it's creating a response in you. Your alignment with Charlotte is lowering because Charlotte's going in a direction which is less aligned with you. That's why it's creating discomfort. So you can either ignore that and push through it, which is what most people do, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's happening to me. It's not my fault. Charlotte's doing a thing. Absolutely. Sure. No argument there, except that you're choosing to live in it, right? And you see the direction it's going and you're continuing to choose to live in it. And so that's in the way that you are co-creating. Now, you and Charlotte, whatever the entity of Charlotte is and however many people are contributing to that, you and that entity are co-creating a relationship. Now, Charlotte's changing the relationship because Charlotte is changing. You are as well. And maybe you're getting to the point where it's not as so much fun to be road racing. Maybe 20 years ago, you would have been one of those road racers. Who knows? But now you're like, that's not what I want. It's making me anxious about my kids, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's a divergence that's happening. Now, how you want to respond is up to you. But the data is this isn't working so well anymore. Maybe you want to live somewhere in a part of the city where you don't have to drive very far to get to your job and school. Maybe you want to live in a different city. Maybe you want to keep doing exactly as you are and just use it as a way of looking at yourself and, you know, seeing the underlying discomfort and what the actual source of. You see what I mean? The relationship, how you respond is up to you. You can't change Charlotte, right? The husband I'm talking to can't change the wife. That's not your job. That's not your right.
Yeah.
Okay, the wife is perfect. She's living at her level of existence. She's doing great. Charlotte's doing great. It's doing exactly what it wants to do, including all the parts of it that are miserable. They're creating their reality. They're doing their thing. Now, do you want to be in relationship with it or do you not? Mm. Right? That's your piece. And that is fully in your control. And because, even though that's only a piece of it, because that's in your control, the whole thing's in your control because you can walk away anytime you want.
Yeah.
Or you could be like, I'm totally okay with this 3 out of the 4 weeks of the month. But then the 4th week, I'm taking the whole family to Idaho and we're going to go every month. whatever. It's your life. You can make it whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
We forget about our freedom.
Yeah.
And we sort of start feeling trapped by things that are literally out of our control. And now you're a victim of Charlotte, as if you didn't live in like one of the number one countries in the world with the total freedom to live wherever you want with enough money to do so. Right. We forget about the other end of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. It's funny because yesterday I don't come into the office every day and I won't be in my car every day. I work from my house. I went on walks. So I get it. Right. I'm with you. And I think it's just important that I like hearing that. Right. There's this one point, and this is more of a symptom thing, but it was really good. And I talked to this individual and he was talking about, he travels a lot. So he goes to airports. Airports are crazy. They were getting crazier. He could get upset. He's like, the amount of times I travel, I'm going to get delayed. I'm going to get canceled. I'm going to deal with rude people. I'm going to deal with rude customer service. If I get upset, then I'm an amateur. I'm a fucking amateur. I was like, dude, I love that. So if you're getting mad because that guy cut you off every single time, you know, someone's going to cut you off.
Yeah.
And they might flip you the bird, like whatever.
Yeah.
If you get upset about that, you're a fucking amateur.
Yes.
And I was like, I love that.
Yes. That's so good. And that's exactly what it is. I used to be super like prickly, like easily triggered, and I would get upset about this or blah, blah, blah. It is so hard to piss me off now, dude. It is so hard. I'll just make a different choice. Like instead of being like, oh my God, I'm really afraid this thing's going to happen, I'd be like, I think I'm just not going to do that. I'm just going to go over here. Like it's just so much more mellow. It's so much more chill. It's so much more joyful because I'm not, my happiness is, as he's saying, you're amateur. Amateur of what? Well, when you're a pro in the way that he's talking amateur, your happiness is generated from within. It has nothing to do with the outside world.
Yeah.
It's totally separate.
That's good. You talked about nonfiction before and how you don't read. I was just curious, do you read fiction? Do you like stories, what have you? Like things that are just, might have nothing to do with the universe we live in or think we live in. Do you go in that space?
Oh, absolutely. I love reading.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of a voracious reader. I just don't read self-help books.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why. I'm like not interested.
Yeah, well, there's like these levels of self-help books because there's also like philosophy, psychology, that's like real deep stuff where you can get way out there. And I think a lot of the, I mean, even fiction, there's a lot of, I would say nonfiction in fiction. There's like a lot of things that you can learn from reading a book that like just not practical at all.
Right? Oh, 100%.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm really old school in that way. I think it's incredibly, incredibly valuable. You're exercising your imagination, which is essential for any industry you want to go in.
Yeah.
That's really important. So those, that type of deep conversation, I have a friend whose name is Dr. Larry Farwell, and he wrote a book called The Science of Creating Miracles. He's a neuroscientist and his father was a quantum physicist, and he's high level consciousness. So that type of like depth, when you said that, like depth of psychology and your energy was just like, you really dig in. I love doing that. I just don't tend to do that with a book. I do that with a person. So he and I will start talking about like levels of like realms of like consciousness and his experience perfectly matches mine and vice versa. And I'll say, oh, do you see that? He's like, yep. Do you see that? I'm like, yep. I mean, it's like, truly we're like meeting on this level, which if you're just sitting in the 3D world, like really doesn't exist or it can't be seen. And so I love that. It's just, I don't find that so much in a book. I'm more interested. I like science books.
Okay.
I'm reading a book on quantum mechanics right now. That's a world that really fascinates me because it's kind of a little bit towards a bending of reality.
Yeah.
The edges of what the physical can kind of contain. And I read a lot of fiction too.
Yeah. I was just thinking there was a book, I was just pulling up, Beginning of Infinity, David Deutsch. Yeah.
I love that already.
Wild. Like you listen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's complicated. Like I sent that one to my dad because he loves physics.
Yeah.
And
this is great.
Like, what is this? What are we? Like, all these different conversations I could have. When you said that, I was like, oh, you'd probably like that book.
Yes.
But it's good. It challenges you, right? Like, you're like, what just happened? And, you know, there's podcasts and he like goes through every chapter to like try to explain it. You know, my son was reading Descartes and he's like, I can't, you know, and like when you look at a teenager and they're reading this stuff, like, what did I just read? Well, now you live in a world where there's people like Ryan Holiday out there that can analyze, for example, Marcus Aurelius. Like, what did Marcus Aurelius say? Well, it's very complicated. He's writing old Roman English, you know, this whole, it was translated. It wasn't, he was writing it in his language. We translated it and it can be very complicated to read. Well, now we live in a world where there's someone out there like a Ryan Holiday, like a ChatGPT, where you can actually have conversations with this to like, explain this to me like I'm in eighth grade. Yes. Or like I'm a 5-year-old to better understand it. Cause I think there's ways to get to that point to better say, cause to say like, well, I'm going to read the beginning of Infinity and understand on the first read. No, like you'll be beyond frustrated if you try to do that. Yeah. I think there's, which is going maybe to the point about there is availability to people out there, even if you don't have the education. I just heard this, there's a former football player and he ended up getting a lot of trouble. He's on a podcast, YouTube video, and he went to prison. And he was like a phenom football player. And the thing that he learned and he figured it out later was reading changed his life. And he was reading these books and he never knew anything about it. No one ever put these in front of him because he grew up in Youngstown, Ohio. That was never an opportunity for him. It was a terrible place. And it's like how reading changed his life. And it was in when he was incarcerated that he figured this out. And now he's out there helping other young people who are portraying this image of expectations of what everyone in their town expects of them to say, I see the road you're going on and that leads you nowhere. You're going to end up in a lot of trouble. You're going to go down these paths. And I've been there. I know what it's like. And let me help you out and those types of things. And so,
how very interesting. Who was that?
It was, his name's Maurice Claret. I'll send you, when we're done, I'll send you the link to that video because it's like, holy shit. Like, I remember watching him when he was playing college football and it's like, this kid's unbelievable. But he didn't realize when he was 15 years old, he lived on his own. His mom, that whole thing.
Not the most supportive. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, it's a pretty powerful thing. I've gotten really lately into, so my grandmother collected murder mystery stories. So by the time she died, my mother inherited about 4,500 books.
Wow.
And they're all murders, all like murder mystery books. So they're like, you know, Agatha Christie's and, you know, all of these just like from, I mean, some of them are from like 1800 and some of them are sort of brand new. And so I've gotten really into, do you know who Dick Francis is?
No.
Dick Francis is a murder mystery writer. He was a jockey. He was a British jockey. And so all of his books are related to the jockey, to the racing industry in some way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a horse person. I grew up riding since I was about five, not in racing, but in show jumping. But I love the horse thing. So I've actually been going, I've just been like devouring.
I love
And he's like one of the greatest, probably, mystery writers. Like every single one is good. Yeah. Every single one. It's amazing. Yeah. I don't even know how people do that. Like, it's so impressive.
Yeah. But it's super cool to have, like, you have this experience or expertise or what have you, and then you compound it with something else and you're just stacking your different talents that you have and you can put it out there in a book. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah. It's pretty rad.
I love that. Podcasting, like, you're having this conversation. You have your own podcast. You create content. You have a YouTube channel. You're out there. You're doing this. I get the sense that, like, there's this power of, like, the Eckhart Tolle book, like, the power of now. There's this moment that we're having this conversation right now. And that's one of my favorite things about podcasting, because it's very rare. You probably don't see this as much because you're probably having a lot of conversations with people and they're dialed into what you're talking about. But it's very rare to have a conversation where they're in tune with you. There's no devices. There's just, there's a microphone. It's almost like you kind of have to be a little bit on, right? And it doesn't mean it's going to turn out and the production's going to be great. It's kind of beside the point, but you get to have this conversation with this individual right here, right now, and nothing before matters, nothing after matters. And that is, that's awesome. And is that why you enjoy these? When I ask you, like, you know, because there's all these people reaching out and they want to be on the podcast, all these different podcasts that we have. And sometimes it's great, but I don't know, 97 times out of 100, I'm not interested. I reach out to you, be like, I want to talk to someone I want to talk to. Because every time we've talked, I'm like, I enjoy this. And I reach out, and you're like, I'm in. Tell me, when do you want to do it? We do it. Here we are. We're talking. Is that why you're doing all this?
Because of that feeling?
Yeah. Or partly because of that. Yeah.
Yes. And there is a space you can get to where that feeling is always. There is a space you can get to where that is simply how things are, because there is never a relevant past or a relevant future. There simply is here and now. This conversation, this moment, listening to this podcast, if you're listening to this podcast, this is actually literally, that's not airy-fairy bullshit. Look, you cannot point to the future, you cannot point to the past. It does not exist unless you decide that it does. The amount of control we have over our lives is stunning. The amount we relinquish is almost the exact same amount. You know, we pull all our negative shit in. We bring it, we attach to it from the past. We bring it into the future. We bring it into our relationships. Or excuse me, we bring it into the present, right? It doesn't need to be here. Like, when you just said that, and you were here having this conversation, nothing in the past matters, nothing in the future matters. And in this moment, it genuinely doesn't. Do you feel the freedom that came through?
Yeah.
Like people feel so trapped, they feel so victimized. And right here in this moment is the way out. Fucking exit is right here. Just be here now without anything else.
Yeah.
It's like getting let out of jail.
Yeah. I like how you pointed it out too, because I feel like I've been saying that a lot. Like that's a reason to have a podcast for someone who's kind of going down this path, I should say, of like trying to become more present. And you point out and say that that exists. And that's true, right? It's very true. And it's a reminder. It's like you've done it numerous times a day and be like, yeah, fuck, she's right. Like, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. But am I doing it all the time? Like, I can go on a walk. I can, like, did this before. My wife wanted to go on a walk. I'm like, I'll go on a walk. Let's go on a walk. It's a beautiful day. Even if it wasn't a nice day, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it was great. And it was like, it was just us, right? And then read a book and like, that's what, one of the other reasons I love reading is because it's just right here. So it's finding those practices. Now there's constant things coming at us. If you're running a business, if you have kids, if you have a family, if you have a house and all, and I get it. You know, I talked to someone the other day and they're like, they have none of it. They don't have kids. They don't have a house. They have one thing that they do. And I'm like, I get it. That's great for that person to do it. It's not probably realistic for a lot of people.
But also the marriage and the house are not keeping you from the present moment.
No. They're part of it, I think.
They're part of it.
Yeah.
So right now, there is no marriage. There is no house. There is just me on the microphone right now.
Yeah.
When you go home, there's the house. Can you be present in the house? Oh, honey, we need to pay the mortgage today. Okay. Can you be present? Because now in this moment, there is a need to pay the mortgage. Great.
Yeah.
Can you pay the mortgage and be here in just this moment? You don't need to take your entire history with you to pay the mortgage. Oh, I've always hated paying the mortgage. Remember that one time 10 years ago, we almost died because we couldn't pay the mortgage. Oh my God. Right? None of that stuff needs to exist in the moment. See how that's in the past. The mortgage is now. Yeah. Go pay it. Oh, you can't pay it? Okay, great. We're in a situation right now. I can't pay it. Okay, cool. So in this moment, I'm going to choose to go to the bank and I'm going to have a conversation. Hey guys, I can't pay it. And I have a little bit longer. I need this. I can do this. What can we? Yeah, there's. I can get through that entire situation without any fear or panic.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm good at the shit. I've done it for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, that's just the practice of it. Right? So yeah, if you listen to the way you phrased those things, oh, sure, it's easy when I'm here with you, when I'm podcasting, when you're podcasting, because podcasting is a gift of yours. So you sit in the present moment. Because when you're in your gift, present moment is fun. It's easy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm also very present. It's easy to be present around me because I don't bring a lot of shit with me, so people don't subconsciously feel like they need to defend themselves. And let's just sit here, connect like humans.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, it's easy when I'm having a wanna walk, but then I get back and there's houses and kids. Hold on, wait. What's the line between the walk and the houses and the kids where you decided you couldn't exist in the present moment? What is it about your children that makes you feel like you need to leave? There's no judgment here. Lots of people feel like they need to leave around their kids. There's overwhelm or there's too much or there's a severe lack of discipline. And so their kids are running all over the place. But I see a lot of things happening. Then they get overwhelmed. They're like, I don't know why it's overwhelming. It's like, well, you've got buffalo in your house. So that might be where we start. But at some point, you check out. Notice when that point is. And that's just a practice. You do that throughout your entire day. There's no like, oh, I'd love to meditate, but I have a 9-to-5 job. Meditation doesn't take time away from anything. It's being here for your 9-to-5 job. That's what meditation is.
Yeah.
It's tolerating reality. Can you tolerate reality? If not, that's cool. Just notice that you left. And then notice when you come back. And the more you watch that, the more reality you tolerate. And that, my friend, is a game changer.
Yeah. That's good. A conversation with someone the other day, and I know they were really stressed out. And I also notice how they stress themselves out because they're, and it's similar to like the car scenario. They're mad at these companies. They're mad at this. Then they can pull it back. Sometimes they need to vent. I think a lot of times they come to me to vent and we'll have a normal conversation about it. And they just needed to get it off their chest. I didn't need to fix it. I can fix these companies. They're huge companies. They are a disaster. Some of the reason I think that one of our businesses exists is because they're so bad that people need us to help them guide them through that path, which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going through some stuff. And as you know, I know they work out. They walk. They go to the park. I asked them, if you ever worked out in the middle of the day? You ever gone to the park 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Or do you somehow feel that you're not allowed to do that because somehow you've set this standard or expectation or something that says you can't do that? You're not allowed to go have fun during the middle of the day. You're not allowed to go do something for yourself. This is your, you said before, the 9 to 5. I think that's the thing. I think it's a big thing.
Big thing.
Why can't you wear sneakers to work? Like that's, I started remember doing that. I said, why do I have to wear dress shoes? Why can't, I want to walk in this area. Why can't I go for a walk? I want to wear sneakers. I want to wear sneakers. Someone doesn't like that, screw them. I don't care. I think enabling and like having the, at the beginning, maybe it's audacity. I can't believe you wore sneakers.
Yeah.
I can't believe you did this. And that was, you know, different time. You talked about the different decades that we've had. Like, no, you show up to us wearing a suit. You're going to go to college. This is the expectation we have of you. You're going to become a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, or whatever. And it's like, that's the thing about fiction. So my dad's been writing a book. And one of the things his first editor told him, and this isn't like the proof editor, this is like the very beginning editing, talking through it, the rewrite stage. There are no rules. There are no rules. There's no rules in writing. There's no rules in anything. I mean, there's the obvious rules of running red lights. Even maybe, perhaps that's not a rule anymore. Right?
But on the level you're talking about, rules. Yeah. I mean, no, is it a rule? Because you've seen people do it. So actually, it's really just a thing with consequences. If you get caught, there might be a ticket. If you hit somebody, there's consequences to that, right? So actually, it's the exact same thing. You can make whatever life you want. Oh, there's rules. I have to wear a seatbelt. You don't. Lots of people don't wear seatbelts or don't. But there's just consequences if you don't, right? So, I mean, there's rules in the human way, like clearly that's a law. But what we're talking about is restrictions to your reality.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mind wearing a seatbelt. That doesn't restrict my reality. I have no problem with that. I would prefer to wear a seatbelt because I don't like those consequences. No, thank you, please. So I'm going to make that choice. I don't feel restricted by that. I just don't choose those consequences. It's like, you know, people in our generation will be like, oh man, I don't want to adult anymore. Like, I miss being a kid. You know, I just want to like go back to, you know, being a elementary school or whatever like that. Bitch, you couldn't pay me to go back to school. You couldn't pay me to be a child again. Yeah. To me, there's no freedom in that. Sure, you didn't have bills to pay. You know what you had? You had to follow every instruction you were ever told. You had to do chores. You had to do homework. You didn't have a say in what you learned or how you spent your time. Maybe you could decide how you dressed. Depends on your parents. Like, to me, there's no freedom in that. To me, being an adult is perfect freedom. Perfect freedom. You don't need to pay bills. You don't. First of all, you could just let your bills be delinquent, which of course has a consequence. You could just choose that or not. But you could also not have a house. You could also like, oh, I hate my job. You could change your job. You could leave your job and take your savings and go van life or sell shells on the beach. I mean, literally, as a grown-up, you can literally do whatever it is. There's just different consequences and different things. So you get to choose. It's a choose your own adventure. If you go left, all right, shit gets real if you go left. If you go right, okay, shit gets real in a different way. You see what I mean? It's like, so yes, there's consequences. And I'm a responsibility person. I've never been shy about responsibility. I like it because I feel like I'm, you know, I like the control, I suppose, or the leadership aspect of that. I'm comfortable in authority. But like the sheer freedom, you know, A, because you don't need to live in Charlotte and drive that traffic. But B, you can drive that traffic and also at a higher level, choose whether or not you want to go down the path of anger or not. And that's the real, you know, how do I want to respond to my reality? You can change it. You can fight against it, or you can love it.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Let me add this one element into it, social media. And it goes back to the expectation. And even if you're not posting, you're going to come across it. Most likely, something's going to pop up. And there's this expectation because you can take that left turn. And maybe that left turn's or right turn, and it might not be such a big deal, but it's a change. And it's a different expectation than the people had around you thought that, like, well, I can't believe Dominique can't do that. How would you do that? How's she going to get in a van, in her Tesla van, and like move around? Like, that's weird. Like, let's go judge her. Let's all get together. Let's all go judge her.
Yeah.
Right?
Good fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of that.
Yeah. Ooh.
But
absolutely,
there's this like art of not giving a fuck about what, but that's not easy to get to. We can read the book. It's a great book. And I didn't want to read that for a long time, but I did. That is more of like a mass self-help book. To me, it was like a fun read. It was just interesting. It was easy to read.
Yeah.
But that's easier said than done, right? Like, and you've already given us a ton of tools with it, but I want to throw in this thing that's like, I heard the other day, or maybe it'd been like 2 weeks ago, let's say by now, that Instagram had the most content posted on it than any time in the history of Instagram. It's a lot of fucking content. Just like, think about how much content was posted a few years ago. The most it's ever had. The most money in advertising went on Instagram around that same time period than had ever gone into Instagram in a one-day period. There wasn't anything special that happened. It wasn't the Super Bowl. It wasn't it just happened, right? And so it's only going higher. There's only more of it. There's only more pictures of vacations. There's only more, this is what you need to look like. This is what your abs should look like. This is how you need to work out. This is how you go to therapy. This is how you, whatever. This is how you raise your children. I saw, there's this hilarious video and there's like a, there's this dog. It's from the perspective of the dog and how pissed off he is because these dogs are flying first class now. It's comedy. It's hilarious. And they show these dogs flying first class around the world. It's really funny. Anyway, but if that dog had feelings, he could truly be pissed off. Like, he has no idea that it's happening. But the concept is you're driving me around in a Honda CR-V, yet these fucking dogs are flying first class. But that's how individuals think. That's how people think. To say, well, they went to the French Riviera. We didn't fucking go anywhere. I didn't go anywhere or this or that, right? You get what I'm saying. We've never had to deal with that in human history until the last 15, 20 years.
We've never had to deal with anything we're dealing with now.
Yeah.
Just about.
Yeah. We're not ready for it. But anyway, we are because we're talking to you.
We know it kind of is what it is. Physically, evolutionarily, there is no getting ready for it. We're simply not meant to live this way. Here we are. So
yeah,
that's the reality. So there's two pieces here. One is that, of course, people are going to victimize themselves, are going to use you as an excuse to victimize themselves. They're looking for excuses to victimize themselves. That's great. Find them. Here you go. Here's one. You want one? Here's one. The question is, do I need to let that ruin my vacation, which may or may not go up on Facebook? And there's a piece that I remember my teacher telling me one of my first years of healing school. And it's like this. Eric, I love you. That's a true statement. My loving you has nothing to do with you. It doesn't require anything from you. It doesn't change based on your actions. It's my state of being. I love you. I didn't say you were lovable. That's a statement about you. I made a statement about me. I love you. Now, most people are going to take that personally immediately. Oh, that's reflecting on me. Oh, I'm worthy of love. Oh, I'm not worthy of love. Oh, she's hitting on me. Oh, she's full of shit. Oh, nobody loves me. Those are the things that are clearable. Go find someone. Go find a practitioner to help with that, right? Quieting the mind. Meditation helps with that a lot. But the reality is I'm making a statement about myself that is not dependent on you. So my feelings, the way out of victimhood is to take responsibility for your feelings, okay? If you're feeling disempowered, you're comparing yourself to something outside of you and finding yourself lacking. Stop looking outside of you. Shift your focus inward. I can sit here and say, I love Eric without even being on the call with you. It's an inward state. Now, that inward state is my responsibility. If that inward state crashes, that's on me. Something has touched me, that's something I'm carrying. Great, that gives me something to look at. Okay. But if I'm looking at you, if I'm like a lot of relationships are, they're like, Eric, I love you. Eric, I love you. Right. There's attachment to it. They're not making it a statement about them. They're making a statement about you. I love you. Why don't you love me back? Well, now you're indebted to me in some way. That's not love. That's attachment. That's dependency. Right. Love is a state of total freedom. I can love you whether you're here or not. I might miss you when you're gone. And that may be me stepping out of love and into sadness because I'm arguing with reality. I wished that some person were here who is not here. I'm fighting against reality. And as a result, I'm feeling sadness and loss instead of, oh, can't wait till Eric gets back. He's the best. I love that dude. right? But I remember him saying this, one of my teachers. He was in, I think it was like year one. We're all like newbies. We're all like, oh my God, what's going on here? What do you mean reality's not the way we thought it was? And he said, he's like, I'm in the line at the grocery store. And he's like, I love that woman. And it has nothing to do with her. My loving you has nothing to do with you. Your centeredness or not centeredness has nothing to do with your house or your children. You can sit in perfect centeredness and have chaos going all around you. Are you connecting to the chaos or are you connecting to you? If you connect to the chaos and then let it in to your gates, into your space, and then blame the chaos, the problem is your gates are loose. You're shifting your focus. You need to shift your focus inward. And there is the resting place. And then there's a segment of my coursework that I call The Art of Invincible Happiness. And it's around this topic. So it's the mastery of this topic. My happiness now at this point is invincible. It is not impacted by you. You could start swearing at me. You could tell me all this total bullshit. I would be surprised. I'd be like, didn't see that coming out of Eric, but okay, that's a perspective. Some people might be listening thinking that exact same thing. Statistically, if enough people hear it, that's a guarantee. Great. Because it's your perspective. That has nothing to do with me. What you think of me on that level has nothing to do with me, right? In this way that we're speaking about now, if there's a pattern I'm creating and everybody thinks I'm annoying, see how there's an underlying, you know, a piece there. We won't go into that now. But from this perspective, it's like your inner world is your sanctum. Clean your house. Keep the door closed unless you want to open it. See what I mean? If the awareness is inward, then you create your space, your inner space intentionally, then it doesn't matter what's happening around you. Then interestingly, this is the next more advanced level, when you hit that state and you really truly land there, not thinking about it, being it, like existing that in your body, then your outside circumstances start to change because you're showing up differently and you impact your surroundings.
That's good. What's wild, I go back and we're starting podcasting. I've been doing it a little bit. And I got this notification, there's this group out there that would help in the podcast production. And I was interested in it. So I reached out. And on the other end of that was Julian, our podcast editor. Start working with him, do all these things. He connected us. Julian lives in Croatia. You at the, in the time were in Monaco. Mm-hmm. This is a few years ago. We're on a podcast call and you're in Florida, Pensacola, Florida. It all started because of Julian. Like, it's just wild how all this stuff works and you can work with anybody and they can be anywhere in the world. And he's just an amazing audio engineer. He's an amazing person. We've had great conversations. I love getting on like calls like this with him, but he put this together. It's all, and he'll hear this at some point and I want him to hear it because I mean it. And I know you mean it too, but thank you, Julian. This is awesome.
Yep. I'm seconding that. I'd forgotten actually that it was Julian that connected us.
Yeah.
But I'm literally in the process of bringing him into another project as well. It's like, you know, when you create these relationships, like a lot of the work that I'm shifting into is toward, you know, sort of bigger business and investing and things like that. And it's really, really relationship-based. Like if I know, like, and trust you, you're the person I want to do business with. So Julian's one of those for me.
Yeah. Well, you're the person I want to have this conversation with. Like this is the kind of, I could just delete it. I'm not going to delete it because I need to listen to it again, but I don't have to send it anywhere. We had it. We're going to produce it. We are going to put it out there and I'm going to listen to it. Like for sure. Like a lot. Because it's that good. Your emails even. Like when I email you, we get all these emails from people. And they're not bad emails. Like sometimes they could be bad or something. Oh, I didn't want to read that. Why is the IRS emailing me? Like to your point about paying the mortgage. Like what the hell did I do wrong? And it's like they did nothing wrong. It was just a notification, right? Like you're good. Just stop freaking out and jump into like, it's like if a cop pulls behind me, I would be like, oh shit, what am I going to tell the cop? And I was like, I was going 1 mile under the speed limit, but he's mean, you know? But your emails have a way of coming across as just like, ooh, I just feel better when I get an email from you. Like, it's just, it's kindness and all that. And it's just real and genuine and all good stuff. But anyway, Domini, I want to make sure that like this conversation was super impactful. You have your website, you're on social media. How do you want people to find you?
Yeah, the best way is, and I can send it to you, put it in the show notes. I have a digital media kit.
For sure.
That has my contact information, a little bit about what I'm sort of doing. And it's a live, it's a living document. So it's updating with my sort of most recent projects and things like that. So the digital media kit, I think it's dominidrewmedia.com. And that's the place to go.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Dominie, this is awesome. Let's keep doing it. We can have more conversations like this anytime. So thank you.
Anytime, my love. Thank you. Honored.
In case you haven't noticed, we love podcasts. In fact, we love building podcasts, everything from development to production. Because of all that, we're building a one-of-a-kind podcast network. If you have a podcast or looking to launch a new podcast, then we should talk. You can message me on Twitter at @Eric_Kaz or hit us up any way that works for you. Let's talk about your podcast joining this one-of-a-kind podcast network.